If you want a little show and you don't know where to go, put on your headphones and hit the mark.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to Hit the Mark with Mark Levy. This is your host, Mark Levy. I don't know why I just did that with my name, but I did it and it happened. And also, I should say happy holidays, everyone. We are in the middle of Hanukkah right now, even though we are recording this right before Hanukkah starts. We're about 5 hours, 3 hours away from Hanukkah because sundown in New York is crazy early. And if you're listening to this when this releases, unlike myself and my guests, this will be 2 days before Christmas, I believe. Well, this is our Christmas and holiday episode. I have brought out the eggnog like I did with Brent Harshman. This is going to be a fun one. I'm really excited. I want to wish you guys all happy holidays first off before we get started. Also, before I even get any further, I want to say I was at the last Step by Ruru shows on that Saturday night. I cried less than I thought I would, but I loved every moment of it because Death by Ruru is my favorite team of all time, and it was an honor to be able to see 3 hours of improv done by them on the last night. And see Curtis Quinn do improv for the first time ever. I just wanted to say that before I go any further in the episode because, like, it means a lot to me, and I love that team. And you can hear most of them on my podcast at certain episodes. I know Tamanik, Joel Weidel, John Murray and Gavin have done the show. Hopefully more of them will be doing the show soon. But that's a different story altogether. Let's go deeper. And, you know, there's many ways you can support the show. There's a... don't worry about that. That was to my guess. There's many ways you can support the show. I actually pointed at something. I'll let you guys...
You pointed to a bag that said, eat me.
Yeah, I did. And that was where these cookies came from. Oh boy, this is the greatest opening 120 seconds of the episode, of any episode so far. Maybe, I don't know. okay, whew. So, you can go to iTunes, you can rate us, review us. Today's Hit the Mark quote will be, get your free shirt with a 5-star review, since no one's done it yet. And I want this to happen, guys. So go on iTunes, it takes 5 seconds, write a 5-star, give 5 stars, say, today's quote is, definitely listen to Hit the Mark with the family while around the Yule log. Yeah, that'll be it. Take a photo of that and email htmpod@gmail.com So what you gotta do is just do that, exact quote, put it on iTunes, I'll verify it myself. And you'll get yourself a free Hit the Mark shirt. You can also go to Zazzle.com. We have a store there. You know the deal there. Free hats, shirts, mugs, all that great stuff. And of course, you can support the show in another way. If you go to hitthemark.podomatic.com, you'll see a PayPal button on the side next to all about 200 episodes of the show. We have about 13 unnumbered episodes. We're getting close to the actual 200. But not close to the number 200, because this is 178. But it's all exciting, it's all complicated, it's all cool. But you'll see there's a PayPal button on the side. You can donate as much or as little as you want to the show. It helps keep the lights on. We just got charged our yearly dues, so please, if you guys want to help, any amount helps to keep the show running and free. And of course, all that great stuff. Today's guest is James Fulton. We'll be talking to him very, very shortly. But first, time for my film review. I saw the film that I've been waiting for quite some time because I'm a big nerdy Chris Rock nerd. Top 5. It is a lot better than it looked in the trailer. I'm not going to lie about that. Like, the only thing I was like the trailer is weird because it feels slightly dated. The movie is great. It's also, it's about this guy who's a big movie star whose career is kind of like careening away from what he wants it to be. He wants to be a serious actor. He's getting a New York Times article, a profile published about him while he's getting ready to be married to a reality TV show star. The movie is incredibly well acted. Chris Rock's great. Everyone's great in the movie. It's really funny. Also really interesting, everyone that's related to him has been on SNL. Like Tracy Morgan, Michael Shea, Leslie Jones, and a couple other people. We're like SNL people too, which I'm like, oh, that's pretty funny. SNL is just like one giant family. That movie is really fucking good and really funny. Put that on your poster, please. If someone has a connection to Chris Rock or the marketing campaign, and you see, like, this movie is really effing funny on the poster, and it says Mark Levy, you will be on Hit the Mark. I will find you and thank you on the air. That's all I have to say about that. But the movie is great. It hits the mark completely. All right, so today's guest, I'm thrilled to have him. He's a newer friend of mine, but he's a really cool guy. He is the host of the Rug Show, and on the team, the Rug Show, I guess they're kind of called.
I guess it's our house team.
I'm yeah. Sure. He's half a blonde on blonde. He's on Smokehouse. He is an awesome dude, and we've already had some great conversations today before we start recording. James Folta, how are you doing today?
Hey, buddy. Good. Yeah. Good.
Great. I'm happy you came all the way out here.
Thanks. I wasn't that far. I walked like 3/4 of a mile.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for coming out for our White Christmas episode.
Yes. Yes.
We are sipping on some nog. We also have a German cookie that they sell at Trader Joe's.
It's a bizarre cookie.
It's called We Sell Up. It's an Oblaten cookie. Basically, what it is, it's either chocolate or vanilla, but I chose the chocolate ones. There's gingerbread inside. There's a communion style wafer.
That's not good. It's not a communion wafer, man. It's like a piece of foam.
But you're making it sound a lot worse than it is. It's got no flavor, but it's not bad.
It's not bad. But its consistency
is really close to weird. Yeah.
It's like really weird. Yeah. It's a great cookie. There's like some chunked up nuts in there or something.
I want to say walnuts, but I'm not sure.
Walnuts or pecans or something.
Maybe it says. I don't know. It probably says somewhere. It just says hazelnuts, walnuts, and almonds, and cashew kernels.
Oh, whoa.
It's an elaborate cookie.
It's a really intense cookie.
It doesn't look like anything elaborate.
Mm. I feel like we're doing an episode of Mike and Tom Eat Snacks now.
Which is totally fine.
It's fine by me. That's one of my favorite podcasts of all time.
I don't know that show at all.
Do you really?
Mike and Tom?
Mike and Tom Eat Snacks. It's Michael Ian Black and Tom, I don't know his last name, the dude from... like, Ed? Was that the name of the show? Not Ed.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, that Michael Ian Black was on.
Yeah.
He's just like a stand-up and, like, an actor. And they just review snacks. It's the best.
And also, since we have said what the cookies are we're eating, we have to say Horizon Organic.
Shout out.
Low-fat eggnog, because Union Market on my corner did not have regular eggnog. Yep. But you know what? It's still eggnog. It's the holidays.
It doesn't taste all that different, I don't think.
No, not really.
Yeah, it's got all the same stuff in it.
It's just a little healthier, which is not bad. I mean...
Organic locust bean gum.
What the fuck is that?
Organic locust bean gum. I don't know.
What's locust bean gum?
I have no idea.
All right, so if anyone knows what locust bean gum is, just email the show. Please let us know. If you don't hear from James or me in the next week or so, we died.
Yeah, we've exploded into, like, pods of locusts.
Could you imagine if we, like... Like, how horrible it would be if, like, we both, like, explode during this episode.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be horrible for my roommates, too.
They have to clean up. It's literally my biggest fear is exploding while recording a podcast.
And then no one hears it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean...
get released.
It's kind of like how, like, Gallagher walked out of WTF.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, you know, everyone heard that still.
Right. Because none of them exploded.
That would be really insane if you, like, listen to that episode of WTF and just explode.
Oh, yeah. Oh boy. Well, I mean, I don't know what the gas situation is in that garage, but you know, maybe he has like a faulty hookup.
And I should let people know that they hear any hissing in this episode. That's my radiator.
Classic New York steam heat.
Yeah, guys. NYC, New York, baby. Empire State of Mind.
Yeah, this you got some stuff going on in this apartment, man.
Yeah, it's a pre-war building.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, what's okay? So I love what I find so funny about my whole apartment situation. I live in, like, the best part of Park Slope, I think.
Yeah, this is a great location.
But my, like, every other apartment door except for the door next to me has the elaborate Park Slope stoop.
Yes. I saw that walking over, yeah. They're beautiful.
Which I love those stoops. So I find it really funny because I just have two steps. Which is fine, but it's just funny to me that.
But your front door is beautiful. You got that old glass. I mean, these are some old school windows, man.
Yeah, no, this is, like, a really old building. It's a pre-war building.
It's beautiful.
So. Yeah, I mean, I love it.
I worked in construction for 5 years.
So Holy shit.
I always turn on the little contractor mode. Because these are super cool. These crown moldings that you have, this is all, like, this is probably handmade, like, installed plaster.
I think I wish my roommates listened to this episode. because, like, they're like going to be, oh, yeah. Or Mike will be like, yeah, I knew that.
Your roommates, like, architects or something? Or?
No, but I mean, like, I think it's just interesting to have people, like, talking about, like, your digs. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So how are you doing today?
Pretty good. Yeah, I, let's see, what's going on? I have been, so I'm back in school, so I had the finals last week. So I was like a crazy person for about 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just kind of like relaxing now.
Yeah.
Hanging out. Yeah, doing shows. I have a...
grad school or?
Yeah, grad school at, uptown. And, yeah, it's good. And, but it just like, I put off a lot of work and had to... Had to double down on it. So I'm just relaxing, working on some comedy stuff.
Yeah.
Doing shows. I got a... When's this dropping? 2 days before Christmas, you said?
On Monday.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I have a show the previous... I had a show on Friday. And it went great.
What show was it?
It was an evening of humorous readings. So me...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me and my buddy Luke Burns, who's a new writer for Maud, who's, like, the funniest dude I know, one of my good friends. We started a little reading night, and it's super fun. It's great. We get, like, late-night writers that we like.
Oh, my God. It's great.
Yeah, it's been super fun. We've got a lot of really cool people.
How many shows have you done so far?
This has been... I'm really tripping over my tenses here. This has been 10. So, 10th one.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so we're planning a big blowout for our yearly one. And I think March. That should be... Or February, I guess. That'll be great.
Well, I mean, you're, like... It's so interesting, because I never knew who you were until... until relatively recently.
That's the scene is funny like that. Like, you kind of run in these same circles. But
right.
They,
and, like, we have run in, like, circles that have definitely overlapped, you know? Like, our circles are, I feel like, hit each other, like, 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
But they're not, like, completely on top of each other.
For sure. And I feel like I've met almost everyone in the New York improv scene at some point in the basement of Triple Crown. Like
that sounds fair.
That's like the lowest common denominator.
Well, yeah, I mean, everyone does shows there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I've got a show with you there.
That's right. We did the
indie cage match.
Yeah.
Which was a fun, unique experience.
That was really fun. Yeah. I keep waiting to be asked back to do that. Because we won.
I know. We got no votes because they like, I thought it was a little weird how they were like how they said like you guys like because they posted basically like what teams got what votes. It was really weird.
Oh really? I didn't see that.
I mean, there was only like 6 votes total.
Oh yeah, that
it was like really weird
because each team got one vote and then there was like 3 audience members.
Yeah. Excuse me, but like it was just like really awkward. I mean.
That was a fun night, though.
I voted for you guys. So.
Thank you.
Because I was like, I can't vote for myself. I'm going to vote for them. They were great.
I think we voted for you guys, too. Awesome. I'm trying to remember. I don't even remember what the other teams were.
Whatever. It's cool.
Yeah. It was you and Manolo, right?
Yeah. You guys chronic fatigue. The craziest thing I've ever been on my entire life.
Really?
Well, what I love about chronic fatigue is we try to match each other's energy.
Oh, okay.
So, like, whoever initiates that scene, like, does with an energy, and then that other person tries to match it.
Oh, awesome.
Which basically means it's me, like, mainly going down to Manolo level, or, like, upper Manolo level.
Upper Manolo.
I love my guy.
That's great.
And, like, it's really fun, like, when he initiates with a high-energy character, and I'm like, oh, cool, I can just, like, be my default.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Like, it's like, it's Mimi Fisher actually put us together.
Oh!
For the dessert cart. Like, she's like, you guys are really funny, and you have, like, the exact same sense of humor, but the exact opposite, like, humor voices.
Okay,
like,
actual,
intonations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we both are really weird, dark sense of humor guys that, like, find really weird things funny that no one else finds funny.
Well, that was the set when you were just murdering everyone, right?
That was a set where, there was, like, 30 dead bodies behind my dinner seat.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
You kept, like, opening things, and there was more bodies.
Guys were, like, tightrope walking.
Yes, we had a whole scene that was... Oh, yeah, where I was trying to walk a tightrope but also hit on Matt.
Yeah.
That was also the one when, like, my character game was saying, I'm gonna fuck a baby into you over and over.
Oh, I remember that so much,
That one got weird.
Yeah.
It was fun. Yeah, I love playing with Matt. I've been playing with him for such a long time.
Right, because he's also San Francisco.
Yeah, so we met out in the Bay in 2011, maybe?
Okay.
I mean,
I never heard anyone say 2011.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, people say 2010, but then...
But, like, I always heard 2011, not 2011.
I guess I'm breaking the mold.
Hey, man, that's cool. We're breaking the mold, second Christmas episode with Nog. For the The middle one, the reason I had no dog is because it was when I was making a backlog of episodes for when I was relaunching, because it was all being shot around, like, early December.
Mm-hmm.
Early to mid-December, I was going to, like, launch, relaunch the podcast, so I had, like, 2 weeks worth of, like, stuff. Kyle, I would definitely have had Nog with you, though. I wish I had Nog with you.
but yeah, no, so I met Matt in San Francisco, and we've been playing together ever since.
Nice.
Yeah, he's a really good dude, super funny. And yeah, we were running, like, a theater company out there and doing weekly shows, teaching classes. It's great.
Nice.
Super fun.
Jesus Christ, you really were a huge deal in San Fran, weren't you?
I mean, it's like a relative term.
Okay.
It's like a very relative term. It's a small scene out there. But yeah, I mean, I got really lucky. So I found improv through stand-up out in SF.
Okay.
I was doing open mics pretty regularly. And you know, like, every town has a website?
Yeah.
Just lists all the
ones. Yeah, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So the one in San Francisco would say, like, there's, like, the night, the time, the venue, and then there's, like, a little note section that would say, like, you know, it's, like, one drink and you get 5 minutes. Or, like,
right.
Sign up at 4:30, show starts at 5. And there was one that was called the Open Improv, and then it had no notes. So I emailed the dude who ran it and was like, hey, man, how many minutes do I get? And he was like, you can probably get up for, like, 4 games. And I was like, okay, cool.
So short form.
It was a short form jam.
Okay.
And I went, and it did well and had fun and kept going back. Ended up getting in with a crew that started doing weekly shows and then started teaching classes. And then they just got their own space.
That's amazing.
Like, past couple months. And yeah, it's a thing now. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So, like, what was, like, your big comedy or acting inspirations growing up?
Let's see. I was a huge SNL kid.
Yeah. Who was your dude? Or dudette?
I was, like, big into the 80s, like, character.
So, like,
stuff.
The Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman.
Dana Carvey,
Mike
Myers.
Mike Myers, yeah, all those guys. So I had I think when I was in middle school, we had, like, a big brother, big sister.
Yeah.
Sort of thing where, like, a ninth grader would come into our sixth grade class.
Okay.
Like, for one free period and, like, just, like, rap to us about whatever.
Yeah.
And the dude that we ended up getting, I wish I could remember his name, but he was a huge comedy nerd. And he brought in the tapes of, like, the 25th anniversary show.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Have you seen that?
Yeah, of course
it's
I have.
Great. It's, like,
I've read every SNL book. I've watched everything SNL.
Yeah.
Even the James Franco documentary.
Oh, God.
Have you seen that one?
No, I've heard things, though.
It's not bad.
It's not bad?
No, it's not bad at
all.
Oh,
really? I've only heard weird things.
It's actually very un-James Franco.
Oh, that's good.
Which is part of the reason why people don't like it, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I read a review of it, and, like, they're like, right before I watched it, like, while I was, like, in the first 10 minutes of the episode, I was, like, reading a review, and, like, it's like, this is, like, shocking how un-James Franco is. It's good, it's just not James Franco.
That's great.
I mean, he appears in it and stuff like that, but, like,
He walks you through, like, the weekly process.
So, like, John Malkovich was the host of this episode.
Okay.
And, like, yeah, so, like, it's just Monday through Saturday.
That's great. Yeah,
it's really cool. I really highly recommend it. It's on Hulu if anyone wants to watch
awesome.
It.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, I just watch a lot of SNL. My parents are, like, really funny. My dad has, like, a great sense of humor. He's, like, very witty. He's a good writer. I remember it was a big deal growing up when my dad was allowed to show me Airplane for the first time.
Really?
Yeah, because, like, I mean, it's not, like, a child-friendly movie.
But it's not. It's
but it's not. But, like, I think there was, like, a conversation that happened to
you have to be,
parents.
Like, I think, like, 12 to, like, get
I think, yeah, I think that's where I was. And even so, like, some of it went. I mean, it was mostly that one scene when, like, there's, like, that naked chick that runs across.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, there's, like, obviously a lot of sex jokes that, like, went way over my head. But, yeah, my dad was, like, gleeful when my mom was like, go for it.
Yeah.
So I just, like, I burned that DVD out.
I can't handle how much I love that movie. There's so
it's
many,
so good.
There's, like, I can watch, like, if I'm in a bad mood and I put on the opening sequence of that movie, I'm good.
It's great.
Like, just the credits. It's all I need.
It's so great.
Like, just to the credits. I mean, like, great. The whole movie's amazing. But the opening, like, you get, like, 70 jokes in those.
It's so dense. The rumor that, I don't know if it's true, but the rumor that I heard is that they shot it to be, like 150 to 200 times longer than the actual movie was.
Okay.
And then they would show it to test audiences and stand in the back with the script, and anything that didn't get a laugh, they would cross out.
Holy shit.
And they just edited. I don't know if that's true, but this is what I've heard. And it feels like it was edited this way.
Well, because, like, the movie's 90 minutes, but it's, like, So, maybe 1,000 jokes.
There's like a joke. I mean, if you look at that screenplay, I bet there's like 2 jokes a page. I mean, it's insane.
And then there's like a lot of probably, I would assume, slightly improvised things.
Oh, yeah.
Or like weird props, because there's so many weird like prop jokes, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. That's a great movie.
Oh, I mean, so great. I can't handle how brilliant that movie is.
Yeah.
No, I love it. Now I want to like go watch it. Like, like it's so funny, because I just watched Gremlins on the big screen for the first time. Gremlins is one of my favorite movies of all time.
It's really good.
And like it's probably my favorite Christmas movie.
Is it? Oh, it's up there. Yeah, I guess it is.
It's
yeah.
my favorite alternative for sure, I'd say. Mm. It's like that or Christmas Story for my favorite.
Yeah, Christmas Story is like, that's huge for me.
Yeah.
I love
And I came Christmas late Story. To Christmas Story, too.
Oh, really?
Well, keep in mind, I'm Jewish. So, a movie where the title has got Christmas in it, that's not Nightmare Before. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, not like I was like opposed to it or anything. I mean, I was raised Reform, and I'm very closer to agnostic.
Right.
As a person.
Right.
But, like, yeah, like, I just didn't watch it. And then, like, I saw it as an adult, so I heard I should watch it. I loved it.
It's great. I mean, he's like, what's the dude's name?
The one that wrote it?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Because
I'm upset, like, as a kid, I was obsessed with Ollie Oppenheimer's Haven of Bliss.
Yeah, yeah.
That was on Disney Channel, like, when I was, like, like 3 years old.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, he's an old radio guy. You should pick up
Gene Shepard.
Gene Shepard, yeah. I just finished reading his book, In God We Trust, All Others Must Pay Cash.
Which that is the...
That's what it's based on, yeah.
Christmas Story, yeah.
And it's like, and he's, I mean, he's like a... Almost like a Spalding Gray kind of guy. I mean, he's just like amazing...
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah.
Amazing storyteller.
I'd say like, more closer to comedic, though, than Spalding Gray.
For sure. Oh, very, yeah, very much. I mean, he's so funny.
Yeah.
And, like, his jokes are just, like, so good on the page. He actually is in the movie. He's the guy... who tells them to go to the back of the line when they're waiting for Santa.
Right.
He's the one who's like, hey, kid, the line's, like, this is where the line starts. This is where the line ends. It starts that's where, that way.
And it, like, pans all over.
Yeah, that's Gene Shepard, yeah.
Yeah, I remember hearing that. Like, it's like that first year that I watched, when I like, watch it, well, this is good. And then, like, I'll watch it the next year, but I watch it, like, 7 times. Because it's, like, TBS, you know?
Oh, they show it for, like, 24 hours,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And, I always make sure I sit down for at least 1 full viewing.
Same. Where, like, no matter where you start, you have to loop through to the same
point. At least.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, like, maybe continue just because it's such a great movie.
It's like, yeah, it's basically background noise at our house. during the holidays. It's the best. I adore that movie.
But, yeah. Like, what was I saying about how to get to Gremlins?
You went and saw it on the big screen.
Yeah, it was a great experience, and it was fun to see that movie on the big screen.
It's good.
Also, a weird situation where there was a girl, like, 8 seats away from me with a small popcorn and a medium soda.
Huh.
And I was like, maybe I should talk to her. And then this guy, like, sat down, like, right in the middle of those 8 seats.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay, well, I guess that's not happening.
Oh, no.
This was, like, right before, this was, like, my mindset right before. And, like, we, like, kind of, like, caught, like, me and the girl kind of caught her's eye.
Oh.
And it wasn't like, oh, yeah, well, like, I don't know. I think she just, like, those creepy eyes staring at me. I'm being way too open in this episode.
It's the nog, brother.
Always about the nog.
I think, like, movie theaters, great place to meet women.
How many women have you picked up at a movie theater?
None.
I never have it either, honestly.
No, never.
I actually really have never.
I never. Been on dates to movies?
Certainly, oh, yeah. Certainly. You know, many times.
I took a girl to see The Weeknd, the Godard film.
Yeah.
Which is a weird... That was like a first date, and that was really weird.
Okay.
Have you seen that movie?
I know of it. It's... I'm not the
biggest... Bizarre. It's like a weird indictment of, like, petite bourgeois
Parisian Jesus type. Christ.
There's, like... It's super funny. I really like it. But it was, like, playing in San Francisco, and I was like, yeah, let's, like, go see this movie.
Yeah.
And I remembered it being, like, different than it was.
Oh, God.
Because the one thing I remember, the couple gets into a long line of cars.
Uh-huh.
And they end up, they're, like, so frustrated that the car doesn't move that they get out and they walk.
Right.
And this is, like, the famous scene where, like, it's, like, pans across, and they're walking through just a horrific, series of crashes and things are on fire and people are like dead and dying and they're just like having this like couple spat, this like petty fight as they're like walking along and it's like it's a very I wish I knew how long it was but it's a very long shot And it's super funny. And I just remember it being a lot of stuff like that. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, this is, like, weird and goofy and funny. But it's also a lot of, like, they end up in the woods and, like, the allegory for, like, you know, like, second Napoleon, French post-revolutionary whatever steps out of the woods and lectures them about.
And you're just, like, eyes like, open, like, mouth agape. And, like, the girl's just like, what the fuck's this guy?
Yeah, we ended up dating for a little bit, but I don't think she had a great time.
Well, you're a charming looking dude. Oh, you know? So while you watch Godard too
much. yeah, it was fun. It was a fun time.
That's cool.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man, like, nothing weirder than a weird movie date.
Yeah.
I went on, like, a fourth date with someone to see Catching Fire.
Okay.
They're like, yeah, I'm a fan of it. She passed out like 30 minutes into the movie.
No way.
Like,
that's not an easy movie to fall asleep in.
Especially, yeah, I mean, the beginning a little bit, but not easy.
Yeah.
Because there's like so much upswelling music in the beginning.
Yeah.
But like, she felt, she was a tall woman.
Okay.
And she fell asleep like on me in a way where my arm could not move.
Oh boy. And you wanted to just stand up and cheer and wave your hands around a lot and you couldn't?
Well, you know me. When I go to movies, I try to be as disruptive as possible.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, no, like...
Mark Levy, rounding a theater.
She actually, like, so I had my soda on that armrest side.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, oh, Jesus. And then I do that awkward, like, arm, not over, but not over.
Yeah.
It was fine, though.
That's great.
And then she was like, how was the movie? Like, she was like, she was like, the movie was great. I'm like, yeah, it was. I liked it a lot. She's like, yeah.
Was she trying to cover up? Did she think you didn't notice that she fell asleep?
She didn't know she fell asleep.
Oh, what?
Yeah. It was a weird relationship.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
That's the easiest way to put it.
Say no more.
Yeah, it ended about this time last year, actually. It was just short, so don't worry. It was
gotcha,
fun.
Gotcha.
Tinder! Which is fine. I feel, boy.
Sponsored by Tinder. This podcast is now sponsored by Tinder.
I would love if we got sponsored by Tinder.
Yeah. Swipe right and hit the mark.
Swipe right.
You should set up a Tinder account for this show. And see, and then if somebody, like, swipes right on the show, you have them on.
And that's our date.
And that's your date. It's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea.
But it's not a good idea.
Yeah, it's like the worst, like...
It's not a bad idea.
Because then I won't be able to release those episodes if it's a really bad date.
That's true.
Or if it's a bad episode, just because... You know what? No, this is stupid. This is stupid. So you're from New York City?
I was born in Manhattan, but I grew up in Westchester.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So what's like growing up in Westchester?
It was fine, man. I mean, it's okay. It's a weird little county. It's very wealthy. It's beautiful. I grew up in Croton-on-Hudson, which is...
This is gonna be the dumbest question ever, because like there's so many places like da-da on da-da. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's like, does that mean, like, small town on a river?
Yeah, it's on the Hudson River. Right. Yeah, it's actually the widest part of the Hudson, where Croton is. So there's Hastings on Hudson.
I know that.
It's a cool, cool little town. It's where the train line, the Metro North, ends. So there's a lot of, like,
dudes
live there who work on the train. It's super small. It's a village, technically. Its big claim to fame is there's a giant dam there that used to provide all the water for New York City.
Okay.
There used to be a huge reservoir down in Midtown
All
the water would be at.
So what's like growing up like in the whole, like Westchester area? Like, did you like come back? Did you come down like Manhattan a lot?
Yeah, I came to the city a lot. It was actually pretty cool because like I was out in, I was up by the river, which is like gorgeous, and I could like get outside and like go hiking, and like I learned how to like sail boats and stuff, which is super cool.
I've always wanted to do that, like, because I mean, I'm from a boat culture too. Like, Miami's a huge boat culture.
Oh, for sure,
culture.
Yeah.
Boat culture.
A culture of ships.
Yes. I know I spent a good amount of time on boats, but never learned to sail.
It's great. I mean, it's like it's so nice. I really enjoy it. And then I could like take the train into the city like super easily. So I was like a huge little punk kid. So I would come in and see shows all the time.
Always at CBGB's.
Yeah, CBGB's, ABC No Rio.
Oh, Jesus Christ, you're making me so mad that I never was
it was fine. By the time I was going there, it was, like, on its way out.
Yeah.
And the shows that I saw there were, like, not great. I feel like I saw, like, Gangrene there, and that was pretty cool. Yeah, that was fun. Although, like, they played mostly their new stuff, and we all just wanted to hear the old stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that's how it always happens.
Yeah, I just wanted to hear Kilikami, and they didn't play that. But yeah, it was, like, it was good. It was super fun, and I got to, like, see a lot of shows, and... Yeah, man, like, punk rock is, like, was a huge thing for me growing up.
Yeah.
I, like, didn't necessarily enjoy, like, being a high school kid in Westchester. And
it was, like, a small high school you went to?
I went to, like, a small private school that was, like... I got an amazing education, but, like, the kids were not... It wasn't really my scene. Didn't really have any friends.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, but it was, like, the worst and it was the best. Because, like, I watched a lot of movies and, like taught myself how to write and, like, saw a lot of music and, like, got out there and, like, did my own thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was, like, it was super cool, man. Like, punk rock is, like, such a huge thing for me. Even to this day.
I've always been a big punk rock fan, honestly.
Yeah, it's great.
Like... I remember the moment when it clicked with me, because, like, the Ramones are always going to be, like, one of my favorite bands of all time.
They're the best.
And, like, Rock and Roll High School, I might discover that movie.
Oh, it's the best.
It's the best, quote-unquote, bad movie of all time.
It's so goofy. Oh, I love it. Yeah.
It's so hilarious. Yeah. Like, how, like, the Ramones don't even speak in that movie, really.
No.
They're, like, the main characters.
No.
Almost.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
God,
yeah.
I love that movie.
I love it.
Oh, that movie makes me so happy. Like, oof.
Yeah, it's great. They're such a fucking cool band. And,
yeah. But, I mean, like, also, like, I mean, my first concert I chose to see, Bad Religion, was that.
Oh, really?
Well, my first concert I chose to see was, Blink-182, the Mark, Tom, and Travis show.
Oh, buddy, no.
Nothing wrong with that, like, being a millennial kid.
No, know? No shame with that. I still listen to Blink.
Well, good Blink, not like...
So, when Smokehouse did Cage Match,
yeah.
We came out to Damn It.
Yeah.
And that was, like, a huge email push for me.
But that's, like, that's classic Blink. That's
it's
not...
the best.
Like, I mean, you're not going to come out to, like, The Rock Show.
No, for sure.
The Rock Show is not a terrible song, but that's their last thing I'd say good, like, okay song.
I would say that, yeah.
Actually, a weird fun fact, I was on TRL when they were doing... When The Rock Show was on...
No way.
TRL, I requested it.
No way!
It was... What's even more awkward, it was shot on a Saturday...
Woof.
Which, you know, is not a TRL.
Yeah,
thing.
That's not a TRL.
And they gave me a script to say. They're like, hey, you're going to have fun with this. I'm like, yeah, I will.
What was the script?
Okay. Hi, my name is
Mark. I'll be Carson Daly.
No. It was like during the whole, like, when the song is playing, they're like, hey, I'm Mark from Miami. I requested the rock show by Blink-182 because I cry when the doves fly.
They wrote that for you?
It was, like, on a script, yeah. That was fine. So I
that's care. Great. I gotta find that clip. Is
it might be
somewhere?
Hard. I mean, it was on for 65 episodes.
That's so funny. I love that. I love that.
You know, I'm a bag of weirdness.
More power to you, buddy.
Hey, I don't care.
More power to you.
But it was really cool because I also saw, while there, I saw Lil Romeo perform.
Really?
Yeah.
What's his song? I feel like he has...
I don't remember that at all.
I don't know.
I know his dad a lot better than I know him.
Who's his dad?
Master P.
Oh, really?
I saw Mr. P.
Mr. P, yeah.
Mr.
Well,
P.
You guys are close.
Yeah.
You guys are close.
But Master P was, like, dancing in the background.
No way.
It was really weird.
That's fun.
It was fun, yeah. I mean, I was like 15, everyone else was, like, 20.
Great. Yeah, great.
And I'm like, this is creepy for me and them and everyone.
You probably can tell.
It's cool. I don't care.
We're all kids.
We're all kids at heart.
Having fun.
We're comedians.
We're making the best we can.
Seriously. So, okay. Where did you go to college?
I went to Tufts University.
Oh, where is Tufts? I've always wanted to know.
It's in, it straddles the line between Medford and Somerville. So I think it's in Massachusetts.
Okay.
So it's like, there's like Boston, then there's Cambridge,
and
there's Somerville.
All right.
You like march out the red line there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It's great. It
what did you go there for?
I studied archaeology and architecture.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you really do know what you're talking about. You're looking at my pre-war apartment.
Yeah, I try.
You're like still like slightly freaking out about it. Like you're like...
No, I'm not freaking out.
No, I mean like you have this like really happy smile.
Well, I can fix this for you. This, I mean, that hole in the front of your house is really funny. They've just installed that new thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's like a 5-minute fix. Like, that's hilarious that they didn't close up that hole. It's like, that's like a 30-second fix. It's not that bad.
Right, it's just like a little, like, plaster, right?
Hey, just put in, like, a little butterfly patch and fix it up.
Well, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. but yeah, no, so I studied architecture and archaeology. and I got to do some cool stuff. Did comedy in school.
What made you want to do architecture and all that stuff?
Because
like that's like as far away from almost as far away from comedy as you can get. Yeah. Not really, but it's close.
Not really, yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, no, it's pretty far, I guess. Yeah.
It's not like poli-sci.
It's a different brand, yeah, for sure. The summer before I went away to college, I visited Falling Water with a girl I was dating at the time. And it was like really cool, and it was like very exciting to see this great, great building. And I'd always been interested, like, my mom is, like, a great painter, and she's, like, very creative, and she studied art history.
Yeah.
Was always taking me to museums, and, like, you know, taking me to, like, see monuments and buildings and stuff, so I, like, had that, like, artistic interest in my head.
Right.
So when I went to school, one of my first semester, I took five classes. I took history of the book, history of punk rock, history of architecture, a drawing class, and then like a science class. I took like geology or something.
Okay.
Man, I can't believe I remember that. And
that's incredible.
It was a weird semester.
I don't remember much of like my first. I mean, ISO theater was involved. That's all.
Oh, gotcha.
And like the basic stuff, like math and stuff.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this intro architectural history class like really sparked me. It was like a big survey class, 1400 to the present.
Well, because like I've always been like a big architecture nerd.
Cool.
Like for example, like, I look like a tourist most of the time when I'm in the city.
Oh, same.
Because I'm looking up. Like
you got to
look
up.
No, I've lived here for 5 years. So, oh,
it's an amazing city.
Especially for an architecture nerd.
Oh yeah.
Like I've always been like a big nerd. For for example, I rang up someone at work the other day who works in a Flatiron building.
Wow.
And I'm like asking her like way too many questions about the building.
Have you ever been inside?
No, have you?
Yeah, it's great, yeah. You can just, I mean, that's the other thing, is you can walk into most buildings. Just kind of go in, check it out.
Yeah, but go up the elevator, you can't really do it.
Sort of. I mean, you got to kind of talk your way in, but you can get in. I've been up.
How?
I just walked in.
You're like, I have a package for the...
Yeah, no, I just said, I was like, I have a meeting upstairs. Like, I forget the woman's name, but it's on the fourth floor. And they let me in.
That's cool.
It's like, it's not...
So you're just like, walked...
I just walked around, yeah, I looked around, yeah. I like poking around. Yeah.
So it's like being inside the Flatiron?
It's okay, I mean, it's just like an office building. I didn't get to see any of the, like...
The Flatiron.
The windows. Yeah. I mean, it's all like, drywalled over, but...
That makes sense.
But my favorite building in New York, quick plug for a building.
The Chrysler Building!
No, dude, so Louis Sullivan,
yeah,
the father of the American skyscraper... designed one building for New York, and it's I forget the name of it, but it's at the end of Berry Street, where Berry hits Canal.
Okay.
It's right there by the Six, and it's beautiful. And he's like, he's a master, and he built one building in New York.
Okay.
And everyone should go look at it and check it out. It's got some scaffolding in front of it right now, but it's beautiful. It's gorgeous.
Berry and Canal.
I want to look it up now. But yeah, it's great. It's amazing. And yeah, this is a great city just like to walk around with your,
especially like in like the lower part of Manhattan, it's all like not like any more skyscrapers, but they're mostly, well, some of them are, but like,
yeah,
I mean, obviously the biggest building in the whole city is in lower Manhattan, but
yeah, in the whole country.
Which is so weird to walk by. Like I've walked by like three times since it's opened.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's weird. Cause like For the first like 5 years of my life in New York, I avoided it because I don't like walking by that area. It brings up way too many bad memories, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure for you too.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah, that was a crazy day.
Yeah.
And year and
yeah
since
yeah, but
yeah, and that building is. I mean, like I don't know if you're following much like the design process for when they were designing
bit.
It, but yeah, it was fraught. I mean, it's a crazy.
And also, it's not as green as they said it was going to be, which makes it sad.
It's not a very good building. It's okay, and it like it shouldn't be okay. Michael Kimmelman, actually, who's the architecture critic for the New York Times, just wrote a really good review of it a couple weeks ago, and basically his point was like it's an okay building, but like it needs to be better than that.
It's a 21st century building, but it should be a 22nd century.
Yeah, I mean it has to function with so many different.
Yeah.
It has to have so many programmatic things going on. Yeah, it's I don't know. I just wish it was great.
Okay.
It's not. Because some of the original designs were like very exciting, very cool.
Yeah, I remember seeing them. Like, the wasn't the one that kind of looked like the
was it the leaf shaped one?
I remember. Yeah, the one that kind of like the one in Dubai.
Oh yeah, the Burj. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like a shard on.
Yeah. Kind of like that.
That one was very beautiful. Yeah.
I love how this has become an architecture. Like, like I never talk about architecture on this podcast.
Oh really?
I rarely, like, one of my favorite things to do, because as you know, I'm a theater nerd and I love going to theater. The architecture of Broadway theaters, like, blows. Like, I know a lot about the architecture of Broadway theaters.
Yeah.
I mean, I was really lucky enough to go inside the Lyric Theater for the third time ever.
Oh, wow.
Have you ever been to the Lyric Theater?
I've never been, no, but I've heard about
it. Even, like, was it the Foxwoods or, yeah. Excuse me, because, I mean, that's two theaters in one. They rebuilt.
Hmm.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
It was a huge renovation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. San Francisco, the neighborhood I used to live in, has all these, in the Mission, has all these old theaters that are abandoned.
Yeah, yeah.
It used to be this, like, big movie theater district. So you'll walk down, and there's these, like, giant signs, like these cool old neon signs,
yeah,
these, like, Art Deco fronts that are just abandoned, like, full of trash. And it's bizarre.
It's so sad.
Yeah, it's really sad, because there are these, and you look at old pictures of the Mission, and there's, like, it used to be this big movie going.
Yeah.
Hub. But yeah, it's weird.
That's where it's like downtown Miami too.
Oh really?
There's still one more theater there, the Goose Room Theater. Where
is
they
is it down by the beach?
It's
in,
like
the Art Deco district?
No, it's like straight up just downtown Miami.
Okay.
But like it's one of those like cool old theaters, like where like the sky, like where they painted the sky inside the roof.
Oh wow.
With like stars and stuff. It's really cool.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. What brought you this? I'm sorry. Like, I'm like, we still like 7 minutes talking about like architecture.
That's
I'm
great.
Like, I'm fine with that.
That's great.
My podcast is not aimed to please. It aims to like just be honest.
Great.
So like, what brought you to San Francisco?
A job.
Okay. What kind of job?
I worked for Habitat for Humanity out there.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. So that's how I learned how to build houses. So I was building 36 condos in Daly City. I went out there. Yeah, it was cool. It was really cool. So I moved out, like, I knew no one. I half knew one person, and that was about it.
So they, like, sent you to San Francisco, or, like...
I applied directly to the affiliate. So
okay.
I applied... Habitat's, like, a franchise sort of thing.
Right.
So there's, like, a home base office in outside of Atlanta, and then...
Right.
They have affiliates all over. So I applied directly for this construction crew leader position in San Francisco. Moved out, did that. Did it for 2 years. It was the best. I miss it every single day. It was like, I mean, I peaked early as far as like good jobs.
Oh, yeah.
It was like one of the best jobs I've ever had. It was really cool. And yeah, I started doing comedy out there.
Nice.
Hanging out.
Well, I mean, you said before you were doing a little bit of sketch and stuff like that before you...
Yeah, I did sketch all through college. So I did... I was on two teams for 4 years.
Nice.
Putting on shows, doing sketch. Yeah.
Well, it was like... Did you ever, like, have any desire, like, to, like, acting about when you were a kid, or...?
No, not at all.
Because, I mean, you're a good actor.
Oh, thanks, man.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Like, you're one of the ones I'm, like that, like, comes from, like, from a sketch background that's not, like, from, like, a theater background that I'm like, oh, no, they're a good actor.
Yeah, I picked it up from sketch, basically. I was like James in the Giant Peach in second grade.
James in it?
I was James, yeah, I was tiny. I was like Lysander in fourth grade.
Holy shit, that's a tough role for fourth grade.
Yeah, but like, it wasn't the real script. I mean, it was like the abridged.
Oh, and it's like, my teacher, I love you!
Yeah, my teacher like rewrote it. It was, yeah.
I'm going into the woods.
And we were reading off of scripts. Like, we didn't memorize anything. It was very low budget.
Okay.
And then I did, like, a little bit of weird drama stuff in high school. But, yeah, then in college, I ended up falling in with, like, sketch teams. And
nice.
I was in a mime troupe.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah, mime is awesome.
Yeah, it was really great. Ended up doing that for 4 years. And yeah, it's dabbled in stand-up.
I love stand-up. I'm terrified to do it.
Really?
I'm not even joking about this. I'm terrified to do stand-up.
Have you ever done it?
No, Brandon Scott Wolf is like trying really hard to get me to
do it. Dude, you just gotta do it. You just gotta do it.
I don't know if I'd be good.
Yeah, nobody's good. Nobody's good the first time they do it.
Well, I'm not saying like, I mean, like, I'm talking like further down the road the first time, you know?
Yeah, but like, I don't know. Whatever, shut up, do it.
Okay, I might. Like, I feel like every time I bring up stand-up, like, someone's like, you should do it. I'm like, okay. Like, yeah. That's how I always end the podcast. I really, I need to make, like, a New Year's resolution or something like that.
Dude, there's so many, like, there's so many fun, easy mics that are, like, great that aren't the worst. Do the one at Muchmore's on Monday. That Dan Fox used to run.
Okay.
That,
Well, what time is it? Because I...
It's at, like, 7. A bunch of guys that I went to college with run it now.
Okay.
It's super fun.
All right.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, fucking do it. Come on.
Okay,
man.
Okay. Come on. Stop it!
Come on.
Stop.
But, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I did. Never taken, like, an acting class or anything. But I
do you have, like, any desire to, or...?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I always thought about it.
I mean, you have the Cary Elwes look to you. Has he ever told you that before?
No.
You Thank look you. Like him, kind of.
Really?
Thank a you. Little bit, yeah.
I've got
just put like in a black outfit and you know.
Oh yeah.
You're Wesley. No, Wesley.
I've gotten. What have I gotten? I've gotten Owen Wilson. I think mostly just because I'm blonde and have a broken nose.
Yeah, that's about
that's
it.
That's about it. When I was a kid, I used to get Macaulay Culkin a lot.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Which has gotten, like, less cute over the years as we've both aged.
But, like, you still get Macaulay Culkin? Because you don't look anything like him.
No, no, I don't think so. There's, like, a couple pictures of me where I look like Benedict Cumberbatch.
I can see that. You got kind of, like, the same, like, structural face.
Yes. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I'm all bones.
all bones.
I'm all bones. but yeah, no, I like acting stuff. I've definitely thought about it.
Yeah, see, like, I get, like, John C. Reilly, which that hurts.
Oh, God.
That's not a compliment.
But he's great.
Yeah. But also, I get talented. Seth Rogen if people, like just look at me as a full package.
Sure.
Which I'm fine with Seth Rogen.
Personality, humor. Yeah,
yeah, like, everything. And, you know, incredible.
Those are all great.
John C. Reilly, I mean, it was like actor-wise, and yeah, oh my god, yeah.
For sure.
But like,
yeah.
They're like, hey, you like John C. Reilly? And I'm like, thank you.
Yeah, walk it up.
I was like, I have like 20 years, 10 years older than I am. Great. but, what yeah. else? No, I had the weirdest thing after Death by Rivers last show at McManus. Mm-hmm. This drunk guy walks up to me on my way, because I didn't drink after the first show, just because I wanted one beer.
Yeah.
And then, like, I wasn't really feeling how crowded McManus was. I just, like, left. Because it was, like, a weird holiday party at McManus after the 10:30
sure.
show. So, like, I'm walking out. This guy comes up to me like, Anna, you're someone. I know who you are. I don't know who you are, but you're someone. You're famous. But I know who you are. And, like, I'm like, thank you.
Hit the marks, dedicated listeners.
Yeah, but I'm not famous.
No, but I mean, like, within the scene, people...
This guy was not in the scene.
Not in the scene,
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, he was in the front row of the improvised play all 4 weeks.
Probably, yeah. Probably.
That'd be so weird that was actually remotely true. That'd be so scary.
There was... In San Francisco, there were people who would come out to our shows, like, all the time.
Yeah.
That were, like, creepy hangers-on.
Oh, no. And, like, San Francisco's a weird town, from my understanding.
Yeah, there's some definite spark plugs out there. There's people who just, like, come out all the time. And we did, like, an interview show, so we would get a lot of wacky people. The weirdest thing was there was, like, a sex cult that was obsessed with us.
What? Like, were they, like, eventually, like, kill themselves, or were they just, all about, like...
It's a sex cult. I mean, I guess this is going out on the airs. Sex cult is, like, a little bit of a strong term. It's an organization called One Taste, and they... they're super...
Do you want me to, like, to censor that?
No! Okay. I don't think they're probably listening.
Okay.
But they, I don't know, I'll probably get a strongly worded email. But yeah, they're this, like, place...
I could seriously... Like
they're based out of San Francisco. You don't have to edit it. Okay. It's totally fine. It's totally fine. They were all about like this sort of like neo tantric sexual thing.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, it was fine. Yeah, it was fine. And they I don't want to get into like the gory details of it, but it was like very weird. Like the thing
were they
like,
obsessed with you? Specifically?
No, they were obsessed. They were obsessed with improv because I think they saw their style of opening oneself up through certain sexual acts and like communing with another's body as being attuned with improv.
That makes sense, though.
It does make sense. I mean, I think that there is, yeah, I think, like, what they were saying made sense, but, you know, but they all lived in a house together and, like, you know, had okay. like, weird stuff with, like, egg timers and
well, that's weird.
Hands and gloves. And, it was, yeah, it's
okay,
it's
cool.
A crazy little, but anyway, so they would come out to all of our shows, and we ended up interviewing the founder for one of the shows, and it was a very weird interview.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was... Because they live in a house, and basically the story was, like, some woman showed up on the guy's doorstep that, like, was their home base. It was
yeah.
his house. It was where they ran their classes. And he, like, started a relationship with her, but he was also, like, teaching her how to be, like, a one-taste, like, acolyte.
Okay.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, it was a weird one. But anyway, yeah, they were our weird hangers-on. And they wanted to, like... They wanted us to teach, like, improv classes to them.
At their place?
At their place, like, to their instructors, in exchange for, like, they would give us their classes, but they wouldn't...
Oh, come on, you would have... Wait, oh, sorry.
Wait, but here's the thing, is they would only give them... They only wanted... they were only going to offer us passes to their classes for, like, dudes. Like, it was only going to be for the guy members of our team.
Oh, that's weird.
And it was, like, really weird. And so, like, we had a bunch of ladies on their team, and they're like, no way. Like,
oh, that's weird.
No way.
Like, that's weird. That means they're going to put stuff in places.
Dude, I would.
Or need you to put stuff in places.
I'll send you some videos, man. I mean, it's like...
I actually would not mind watching, just because I'm always intrigued by weird shows.
It's
like
a
that.
Weird organization. Yeah, it's a very...
But, I mean, organization. You know what? If it makes people happy and not
yes.
themselves, then that's good.
Would that we all could find our tribe.
Like, honestly. I mean, like, okay, we're part of a weird tribe.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we're part of improv.
Man,
improv
like,
is, like, known as, like, the shit thing people do in college.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we're both out of college for at least 5 years apiece, I believe. Because I know you're a little younger than me, but not by much.
2010 I graduated, yeah.
College?
Yeah.
I was 2009.
2009, there you go.
But I should be 2008. But, yeah.
Great.
I spent 5 years in college, 3 undergraduate diplomas in acting.
Hey.
I'm cool with that.
No slouch. No slouch.
I fucking loved it, bro. Dude, I was at UF for Tebow.
Oh, okay.
That, so, if you know anything about college football, that's a huge time to be.
I don't, but I'm just nodding.
Okay.
Tebow is a team?
Tim Tebow, he's the crazy religious guy.
Oh, with the this pose?
Yeah, okay. with the Tebow pose.
Okay,
that's what James just did, for those listening.
I thought it was like T period B O, like Tebow. His first name was like Travis.
Oh, no, his name was Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow, okay.
But he was this really amazing college quarterback.
He was like a dud in the pro leagues, right?
Because he should have become a tight end for pro because he's like really, like he's a great runner. He's a huge dude.
Right.
And he's great. Like
right.
he's really great at quarterbacking. He's also really great at running and everything.
Right.
Like, he's a straight-up great college quarterback.
Right.
But I think partially ego, partially people just not want to deal with, like, the media.
Hmm.
Because he brought a lot of, like, weird religious media stuff with him.
Sure.
But he was amazing to watch, play football.
That's great.
And I was there for his Heisman and for the most recent championship, so.
Hey, man, good for him. He found his tribe.
Yeah.
Man. I mean, that's like, I don't know, to like draw another connection between like punk and improv. Like, that's what drew me to punk rock, was that it was a place where I felt like I finally belonged.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, improv was the same thing. It was, you know, you could be what you wanted to be and make what you wanted to make.
That's why, gosh, I mean, nothing like seems more happier than like being in an improv scene and being able to be the weirdest thing in the world.
Sure.
Nothing makes me happier than that. I'm not even joking about that.
Yeah.
Because like, I'm a weird person, but... The fact that I can play, like, whatever my brain brings it to is great.
And feel supported in that, yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, I'm very lucky on teams where it's all pure sports. So are you. I mean, like, the Rug Show team is, like, fucking incredible.
Oh, thanks, man.
And, like, you and Matt are, like, incredible. Like,
thank you.
It's just great. It's really great watching people do what they love and do it well.
Yeah.
That's a bit more important thing, doing it well.
Yes. I think, yeah.
Because it's also, really, I mean, like, yeah, it's nice to watch someone, like, in a one-way show be like, yeah, this is my calling. And then, like, be like... And that's why I started like, oh, God, I can't see them in, like, 5 years or so if they ever become good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's great to just, like, delight in each other's, like, the things that other people are good at. I mean,
yeah.
I think that's what, like, drew me away from stand-up was, well, as soon as I found improv and I was, you know, you're working with a team and, like, you're hanging out with people and you're doing stuff and you're like making each other look good. And
yeah.
That's great. I mean, it's like sitting, you still need to do stand up, but like sitting in an open mic is like rough sometimes where like it's all the comics that are just watching you and like.
Not laughing.
Not laughing, running over their sets in their head.
Yeah.
It's tough. And it's like,
oh, really, I mean, the funny thing is like, that's like not much different than like, going to college auditions that I did, like, because I went to a lot of catcall auditions. Like, there's this big thing in South, like, in the South, SCTC, Southeastern Theater Conference. There's also, like, a Florida Theater Conference, too, where you audition for a lot of colleges and stuff, and, like, other theater companies. So, like, people can laugh, but, like, and you might get some laughs from, like, the people, like, adjudicating you, but, like, from your peers, you're not going to get anything.
No.
Because they're, like, running their monologues in their head.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So...
it's nice to be able to, like, step outside yourself for a second and be involved in, you know. It's like, you know, I played in bands as well, and, like, that was always, it's like the same thing. You're, like, making something with people that you like, and you love what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's just, like, fun, and you're making noise and hanging out.
So, yeah, I mean, so what brought you back to New York then? Because it sounded like you were having such a great thing in San Francisco.
Yeah, it was good, but, like, I was at the top. And, like, I never...
So you're the biggest fish in a small pond.
Yeah. And, like, I felt very undeserving to be there.
Or one of the bigger fish in a small pond.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely. And, like, you know, I was, like, teaching classes and, like, doing a weekly show. And, like, coaching and, like, you know, producing shows and, like, running a theater. I was, like, doing a lot. But I didn't feel like... But I'd never taken an improv class. You know, I'd, like, learned on my feet. I'd never taken any class.
That's insane.
And it was, like... I just, like, learned it from, like, my peers and just from, like, trying stuff out and, like, fucking up. I felt like a fraud, man. I was teaching one-on-one classes and, like, making a bunch of money off it. And I was like, I don't know shit about shit. I wanted more. I mean, I think that there's, like, the creative impulse is, to a certain degree, being dissatisfied with the idea of enough. And I just was like...
I agree with that fully.
Yeah, and I just, like, I wanted more. I wanted to, like, see if I was really as, like, good as people were telling me I was. And, like, I wanted to take classes and I wanted to get better.
Yeah.
And I wanted to, like, be in a bigger pond. And, you know, and I'm from New York and I love this town. And
you wanted to,
like, I wanted to come back.
Like, have you ever lived, like, in New York City before?
No.
Okay.
No, I never lived.
So that was also another exciting thing.
Yeah.
Not to, like, have to, like, travel from Westchester.
For sure, yeah. And I wanted to, like, do it. And try stuff out.
Nice.
And I needed a change. And I also didn't, like, vibe with San Francisco super, super hard.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was, like, I loved it. Like, my time in San Francisco was amazing. And, like, I love that I can go back. And, like, I have so many friends there.
Yeah.
And I helped to start, like, a really cool thing.
That's fucking incredible.
It's incredible. It's, like, really fun and great.
Like, I love the idea of being able to start something really cool.
And it was crazy, man. I mean, it was, like, such a hustle.
I mean, I've started things, but they were not cool. I mean, the coolest thing I've started is my podcast, but it's not
great,
like, I've just got a small following. I'm happy with it.
Yeah. I mean, we, like, it was tough, man. I mean, we were doing a Friday show for, like, I think it started in, like, 2010. And we would go to Union Square in San Francisco and hand out flyers to tourists for 2 hours before our show. And it was, like, one of the most, like, degrading, demeaning things I've ever done. To, like, stand on the street and come to our show. Like, it's comedy. And they'd be like, oh, stand up? We'd be like, no, it's like, we'll, like, interview someone and then we'll,
like, who's nice anyways?
Yeah, but like, not. It's like, I hated it. Like, I really didn't like doing it. But we did it every Friday. And then we, like, people start showing up and then more people start showing up and then too many people start showing up. And it was great.
Awesome.
And it was, like, really amazing. And then people were like, we want to learn how to do this. And we're like, okay, I guess. And, like, started teaching classes. And then...
That's so fucking cool.
It was great. It was, like, it was this really incredible thing that I feel so happy I got to be a part of.
Yeah. So you came back to New York to finally start studying improv.
Yeah, finally. Like,
who was your first teacher?
I took a 101 intensive with... it was half Shannon O'Neill and half Anthony Tamanek.
Oh my god, that's
just
great.
It was really
I've
intense.
Only had one of them as a teacher. Hopefully we'll have the other one very soon as a teacher.
Yeah.
Find out very soon about that before this episode airs. Actually, technically I've had both because one of them did sub me in a class. But those are two very intense teachers that are amazing.
Yeah, they were incredible. It was fun to have them for 101. And like to get that like base level.
Yeah, I mean they were so good.
It was so good. Yeah.
And then
so
good. like And how quick did you take... Yeah, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so I took that, and then I took the accelerated 201 with Brendan Gardner.
Oh, great.
Which was great. I had 301 with Abra.
Great.
Which was amazing.
When she teaches... She teaches 301? Holy shit.
Yeah, she did, I guess.
Because I thought all she is now like advanced study.
Maybe. I mean, she probably has maybe switched over at this point, but I definitely...
Well, you moved back here in 2000.
This was 2012.
Right.
Yeah. No, I guess this would have been last year, though. Maybe not. I don't remember. I don't remember when I took
it. So 12 or 13.
Yeah, something like that. And that was a great class. It was such a fun class. I really liked her as a teacher. And then 401, I had BSJ, which was great.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I lucked out.
You got really lucky. Like, those are like... I feel like the only way that would have been, like, any different and still been, like, really incredible would have been, like, 301 Gavin Spieler.
Yeah.
Because Gavin's, like, the 301 teacher, even though I never had him until advanced study.
Oh, yeah. No, he was, BSJ was great. He was also coaching me at the time.
For which team?
He was coaching Bullcut Henry, I feel like.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you were on the team.
Yeah. I got really lucky because one of my friends from San Francisco pulled me onto an indie team literally the week I moved to New York. So I was on chalk, like the Monday after I moved back home, which was like almost a problem because I wasn't in a class.
Yeah.
John Murray was coaching us, and I guess
one of my favorite dudes in this community, like the nicest guy in this community.
I cannot speak more highly of that dude. I love John Murray.
I'm so happy he's continuing with whatever route becomes.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I talked to him on Saturday. So I'm like, hey, one looks like as I knew like some people were not continuing.
Right.
Like, are you continuing? He's like, yeah, like fuck yeah.
But yeah, it was almost a problem that I was on that indie team because I wasn't taking classes. And I guess there's a thing if like you're not.
Like, it's weird.
You can't
yeah.
Take with like teachers if you're.
Oh
not.
Really?
Yeah, because I think it's like I mean it makes sense. Like it's a way around.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, but I got super lucky, so I was on like a really cool improv team with like 301 people, like my first week here. Which was great. Really fun. And that's, like, still one of my favorite teams I've ever been on.
How did, the Blonde the Blonde get formed?
Matt's from San Francisco. Yeah. And so we met out there, and we were performing together and producing and doing stuff a lot. And I moved to New York a year before him. And we were, like, keeping in touch. He was running, like, a show out there, and I would send him sketches and videos and stuff from here. And so we were, like, still collaborating, like,
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
Then he moved out, and we just, like, started doing stuff. We've, like, written shows together. We started performing together, doing Tuprov. We do a character show that we host together. We do Dumb Friends.
Yeah, and how did a rug show come about?
Rug show... We wanted to, like, produce an improv show as Blonde on Blonde.
Okay.
So we were just doing, like, random shows. So we did a show called, like, The Grape Show twice.
I've heard of it, actually, yeah.
Really? So we only did it twice, and it was...
Probably like in a Facebook event on it.
Yeah, probably. The conceit of it was that like we would do a show until we were done eating a thing of grapes, and like which was like a hosting bit we wrote like immediately beforehand, and then we were doing stuff at we had like a Cusick residency,
nice,
and we wanted to start doing a weekly show because like monthly shows are great,
yeah,
but it's like weekly shows are better.
Of course,
weekly shows are way better.
And, like, I mean, I've only been able to send the rug show once because I'm normally busy on Sundays.
Yeah.
And that is a fucking beast you guys have created.
Thanks, man. Thank you. Yeah,
like,
I'm, like, super proud
the
of
the fact that
know.
It's so small, like, the space.
Yeah.
And just fun.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's all we want is, like, just, like, a weekly show where, like, people can come and, like, do their thing and, yeah, just, like, have fun.
And did you name the rug show because of the rug down there?
Yeah.
Okay.
We bought that rug from an old lady in Chelsea.
Oh, so that rug is not from that space.
No, yeah, that's our rug.
So you guys bring the rug home with you?
No, we leave it there, thank God. we originally planned to, like, haul it back.
Then how did you guys find that space?
We Googled open mics in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And then just, like, visited venues. So the bartender there, Stephanie, who's great, we, like, went in and we said, you know, we want to do a show here. And she was like, cool, here's the space. Like, email this guy. And so we started doing it every other week and then moved it to every week.
And when did you guys start hosting that?
Sometime this summer.
Okay.
Like, June.
Right.
And I think it's been weekly since July.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so it's been a while. It's great. I mean, it's like, it's been super exciting to see it, like grow into its own thing.
Yeah.
And like that people are excited about it and that people want to do it.
And when did you get Katie, Ruth, and Dara to join the actual team?
Katie, Ruth, and
because I know that Dara told me she, like, they were like doing like pretty often.
Yeah, so they were like, they were just, you know, they were our regulars. They were coming out all the time, and they were doing the show a bunch. And we basically started doing a thing where, like, if people are there in the crowd that we want to play with, we just pull them up and play with them.
Right.
So Katie, Ruth, and Dara were performing with us a lot. And during the summer, like, I was out of town sometimes, like, going to do vacation stuff or whatever. Matt was going to visit his family. So we were, like, pulling people in to fill in. And it was always those two. And they're the best.
I mean, they're amazing.
They're so funny. And they're so
Dara's, like, a new friend of mine, but, like, she's, like, awesome.
Oh, she's the best.
Yeah.
She's the fucking best. And Katie Ruth, too, is...
Katie Ruth is the bee's knees.
So good. I mean, they're both so funny.
Yeah.
So we were just like, hey, if you want to, like... run the show with us, like, please do.
Weird question, because, like, I feel like whenever I see a rug show lineup, they're normally not normal teams.
Yeah, they're usually, like, mixed up teams.
Yeah.
So we will ask, people that we want to perform, originally when we were first booking it, we would ask people, like, bring your friends.
Right.
Just get people you want to play with and bring them out and do a show with them. And that's kind of become what it is, where, like, people will come
right,
and
yeah.
Like, I want to play.
I mean, that's exactly what I did with mine.
Yeah, which is, like, that's exactly what we want. Like,
I mean...
they're just a place for people to come and, like, try shit out, put stuff up, and...
Yeah, I mean, me and Andy haven't played together in over 2 years.
That was a great show.
Thank you. It was really fun. Like, it was really cool, because, like, we decided, like, subconsciously to get a little lower energy than the other two teams before us. But, like, it was so great. It was so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, we want it to be a place where people can, like, try out teams or play with people that they've always wanted to play with and, like, maybe never got a chance.
Yeah.
Or
haven't in a while, in my case, there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we literally met for, like, my first 401, wow. Like, in 2012.
Wow.
Began in 2012. It's almost 3 years ago. That's when we met.
Wow.
And, like, we're like, I like how you play. Like... we've always been friends, and, like, we just have, like, because he was definitely a lot better than me at that point, especially.
Sure.
And, like, and still is my personal opinion, because I think he's fucking incredible.
He's so funny, yeah.
And, like, I'm like, Andy, let's just play here. So he's like, find a show. Like, okay, fine. And then, like, the
right
show happened, and they're like, hey, free then? And he's like, I will be.
That's great, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's, rug show's for all people, man. We want it just to be... do whatever it needs to be.
What's your hopes and dreams and goals? Because I know you're nowhere near the top of it for the rug show yet.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'd like to see it...
bigger venue, or...?
Maybe. I don't know if it needs a bigger venue.
Well, I mean, what I love about that venue is that it's so punk rock.
It's great. I mean, it's like, it had a huge hole in the ceiling for a while, and it was like, it's the best. I love that place. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good size for what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
I want it to be a thing that's, like, still fun. I think my goal for it is for it to be, I mean, I don't, like, want it to be at the Beast or anything. I mean, that would be cool, but, like,
yeah.
I don't know if it would necessarily work there. I just want it to be, like, a fun Sunday show. I think my goals for it are something that people know about, that people want to do.
I think people are learning about it very fast.
Yeah, it's been... crazy to, like, run into people and be like, hey, man, I hear you, like, run this rug show.
Yeah. I want to do it again in a heartbeat.
Come back, man. Let me just, like, drop in, whatever.
Okay.
Come by.
All right.
We're trying to book three teams a Sunday.
Right.
But, you know, honestly, like, we don't have a show behind us. We could do four. So, like, let me know.
Okay.
It's like, I mean, that's, I don't know. Like, I just want it to be a stage, and I want people on that stage. I want people having fun.
Well, I might actually want to, like, bring, like, an actual, like, a normal team. Well, I don't know. I, like, because, like, there's so many people I want to fucking play with. Like, because it's all about rug show. Like, it's similar to Kaleidoscope.
Yes.
But, like, a smaller version. Because Kaleidoscope, you want to get, like, six people.
Yeah.
Rug show, you want yourself, like, two other people.
Yeah, I mean, though, to be honest, like, we've had...
like, you've had, like, seven-person teams down there.
Dude, we had, like, a 15-person team the other night. Like,
wait.
All the Chicago expats.
Yeah, I heard about that.
They killed. They were so funny.
Oh, like Gary and...
et al, yeah.
Gary et al.
Yeah. It was like Gary and...
probably
Carmen and John. O'Malley wasn't there. It was,
O'Malley still busy. That's probably why.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's got a real job in comedy.
Writing comedy. Being Seth Meyers in the slight future.
Yeah, man. So, like, all those guys are doing all this stuff at The Annoyance now. Yeah, who I met through a friend in San Francisco when I visited Chicago. And it's just been, it's been great. The Rug Show's been so good just to meet people and, like, get out and do stuff. And it's like, I get to perform every Sunday. It's a fucking miracle.
It's great.
It's amazing.
I mean, it's a great day to perform.
Yeah, it's so good.
So, I want to talk about, like, Smokehouse, because you guys went to Cage Match, which is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, it was great.
Smokehouse is a stacked, beautiful team.
Yeah, that was our audition team for this year's, you need a
re-nog. I'm actually good right
now. Okay, great, I'm going to re-nog here.
You re-nog. On the Smokehouse, it's you, it's Brad Temple, it's Alex Song, right?
Nope.
I thought Alex was on, I'm sorry.
No. you didn't offend me.
Corey Palmer.
Corey Palmer. Malin. Von Euler Hogan.
Yeah.
David Greenslade. Who do we have? Corey, David, Brad, Malin, Danielle DiPaolo.
I just want people to know Brad Temple will be on the show very soon.
Oh, great.
He was going to be this week's episode, but my fun schedulings on Mondays made it not possible. So he will be sometime, probably January.
Cool. I'll text him about it. Let's see. Brad, Corey, Danielle, Malin, Bill DiPiero, Zach Goldbaum. I think that's it. Did I miss someone? You said you did. Oh, no, and then me. That's
like, who am I missing? Oh, yeah, myself. Yeah. But, like, that's such a fun team.
Oh, it's the best team. I love those guys. Yeah, it was so great.
You guys, like, destroyed Indie Cage Match, of course.
We had a really fun time.
Yeah.
It was really great. I only got to play on one of those sets, but it was really, really fun. And then our Cage Match set was really fun.
Who'd you guys...
We were up against Fedora.
That's been fun for
us. It was super fun, yeah, because it was... Bill was out of town, but both Bill and Zach were on both teams.
Right.
And Zach had, like, oh my god, Zach had a killer night.
Like, he like,
rocked both sets. He had a great set with us, and then a great set with them.
Oh, that's great.
Like, it was super cool.
Yeah, like, Jimmy Fedora is such a fun team. I'm actually on a team with one member of Jimmy Fedora now.
Oh, really?
Billy Hurley.
Oh, great. Yeah,
yeah, like, I'm on a new team with Call Fall and Sox, which is, like a weird hybrid of, like, four different teams.
Great.
It's, like, some of Flint, some of Centaur, some of Jimmy Fedora, some of Sat Jazz, some of the Mondays. It's, like, really good.
Super good.
Like, yeah, it's, like, we're having a lot of fun.
Cool, man. Cool.
We haven't had, like, a first official show. We had, like, a small version of us. Like, three of us do a show at, like, Triple Count One, so, like, we're booking, guys, so if you want Fallen Socks on your show.
Rug show.
I think we're doing a heartbeat.
Let me know. Well, we got openings in January.
Okay, I'll let them know.
Holla.
Yeah. So, what's, because I've never done Cage Match before.
Yeah.
What's it like doing Cage Match?
It's fun, man. I mean, it's like, it's a super warm room. It's like a really hot crowd. Mm-hmm. People are...
Which I've had that experience before at that time slot on that day. But it was for 3-on-3 like last year.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's great. It's really fun. I've also done that show with UCBW.
Who's your wrestler?
Me and Dan Fox are these charming men. So we're like a Smiths. We're like the world's biggest Smiths fans.
That's hilarious.
Which is great.
That's great.
Yeah, and it's... That's
which just, I feel like is not far from reality.
No, it's not.
Well, it's... close to not so far, but
that's why, like, I feel like when I first met him, like, one of the first things we talked about was how we both like the Smiths, and like very soon after that Dan Fox loves to FaceTime and
really I don't have an iPhone
for a period,
plus I'm not that I like Dan Fox close, but not like FaceTime
but
close.
You hate him. Yeah.
Dan Fox is my evil nemesis.
But he, like, at some point, like, early on in meeting him,
Dan Fox, you know, I went on my podcast. He's been on my podcast.
Has he?
DCM, one of the DCM episodes, gotcha. If not both, I'm not sure.
Anyway, he FaceTimed me and he, like, played me a Smith song and we, like, sang along.
Aww.
And I think he was talking about doing this team with someone else, and then,
yeah,
I think, like, Peter Shearer, maybe. But yeah, it's, Cage Match is fun, man. It's so fun. And
I love being in that audience, man.
It's great. Well,
I would
yeah.
love to be on that stage.
It's
like,
so fun.
Being weird on stage.
Oh my god, I went insane. That was a show that I ended
Wait,
up,
you
like,
went, I'm scared what you going insane
is. I crawled up, like, into the pipes, like, up above.
Oh, no, that's, like, where, like, the shit goes.
Probably. I mean, it may have been a water pipe. I'm not sure. but, yeah, I was literally hanging from the rafters for, like, one scene. two scenes, I guess. And it was...
Because of a callback, or...?
Yeah, because of a callback. Yeah. And then Malin. Fucking Malin made so much fun of me. That was probably the biggest laugh of the night, is, like, I was, like, hanging from the thing.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, now we're just showing off. And it killed. It was so funny. Yeah, it was great.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really fun. It's a fun night, you know, if you can get on.
Yeah. Well, it's a fun night to watch anyways.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, the week that this airs actually will be a really interesting episode because I've had half of one of the teams, the enemy, which I've had Sean Casey, okay. Apruzzi, okay. Sebastian, Joey. I've actually had more than half. Joey, Dave Bloodband, Jesse Neal. I've had everyone on that team but the girls, I just realized, on the podcast.
Oh, wow. You've had most of that team.
That's the enemy. Cool. And I've had all of my privacy, and it's the enemy versus my privacy, which I think will be a really interesting show.
Oh, that's going to be a good one, yeah.
I do want to get Alex and Claire on the show, too. I should that be known. Nothing against women. Oh, I just haven't had a chance to have them on yet.
No, nothing against women.
Love women.
Love women.
And those girls are hilarious.
That's a great team.
Yeah.
I do like that team.
That's going to be a really good cage match.
It should be. Yeah. This past week's will have been good, or has, was...
It'll be, what I like about it is that it's like weird superpowers in the indie scene.
Yeah.
Because Jimmy Fedora is a small, like, I don't call it small superpower, but, like, they're, like, they've been around for a while.
Yeah.
They're known.
Yep.
And Warren's like a super, definitely a superpower from like
huge.
Year ago. Like, because they all were like, they were superpowers before they all got into Harold Knight.
Yeah. That's a great team. I love both those teams so much.
I really think it'll be a really great cage match. I have no idea who's going to win.
No, that's a real toss up. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited.
But by the time this episode airs, we will have.
We'll know.
Just like the Christmas miracle and the gift of the Magi.
The gift of the Magi.
I don't know much about that story.
That's the one where she buys the watch.
I think so, yeah.
The watch chain, and he gets the comb.
Yeah. They buy for each other, yeah.
Yeah. But, like, she sells her hair to buy the thing, and he sells his watch to buy the comb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Very sad.
Yeah. Hey, it's like the Christmas shoes.
The Christmas shoes? Oh, God.
You know that song, right?
Yeah. I know it through the David Cross bit.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the one that he talks about?
I don't know. I know David Cross? But I'm not surprised if he did one about that song, because that song is, like, horrifyingly sad.
It's ridiculous, yeah. It's
like, for those that don't know, the lyrics of that song, like, involve, like, this kid buying shoes for his mom while she's, like, dying of, like, really bad cancer.
Yeah, and he's buying her, like, red high heels.
Yeah, and then he's like, just so my mom could, like, look nice. They also,
when she goes to heaven, isn't that the thing? That I she think can so look nice when she goes to heaven?
Yeah.
Ooh, baby.
Oh, well, like, one of my friends, like, played it for me backstage during a play, like, for college. Like, in college, like, what the fuck is this song? The song is, like, made to make you cry, excuse me, and go to church.
In that order.
And then I played him "I Feel Weird" by Steel Train, and he's like, "This is the happiest song about sadness ever." You know that song, right?
Yeah.
It's the happiest song about sadness.
That's so good.
I know every lyric, like, because like, I love, like, because like that song actually cured my depression, like that from college. Like, it's really weird how it happened.
Power of music.
Like, I was like really depressed for, like, 7 years, and like, I was watching Conan one night, and that song like popped up, and like, it's the happiest song. But I hear the lyrics like, "Oh Jesus," and like, "This, I don't care. I love this song." And then like next thing you know, I was like.
Wow.
Better.
Wow.
And then I, like, tracked them down because they were playing in Jacksonville, and I, like, cried on Jack Antonoff's shoulders. I'm not even joking about that.
I believe it.
He was crying on my shoulder, too, because it's weird. Wow. It's fine. It's cool. Music, man. Music.
Makes the world go round.
So we're getting ready to wrap up.
Cool.
Okay, so what's some of James Fulton people might not know that you're okay sharing?
Something that you might not know about me that I'm okay sharing. Like, do you want, like, a comedy thing?
It doesn't have to be comedy. It just has to be something true.
I
mean, like, Kevin Mulaney shared that he made a whole, like, bunch of money on Second Life.
Oh, really?
That's not, I mean, when you think about Kevin Mulaney, I mean, if you know anything about Kevin Mulaney, yeah, you know, he's a nerd, like, for that sort of stuff, but, like,
yeah.
But that's not something that you think of, like, oh, shit, yeah.
What's something that people might be surprised?
And it doesn't have to be, like, that big. Be like, I like dogs.
Oh, I don't like dogs. Dogs scare me. I want to like dogs, intellectually.
Okay.
Something people might not know about me is that I don't know. I'm like an in my head about this now.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I have two tattoos. I'll say that.
Where are they?
They're on my thighs.
Well, what are they?
Oh, what are they? I mean, they're tattoos.
no, so one of them says tat, one of them says two.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God, that's dumb. I wish I had thought of that. They're little. One is like a little, an axe and a bone.
Okay.
And then the other is a little mountain.
That's cool.
And they're little stick and books that I did.
Oh, that is like such a beautiful little punk rock thing to do.
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, God, this episode is making me want to fucking put on my Pandora on this like fucking badass punk rock.
I'll make you a mix, buddy.
Please, dude. I'm all like, because like honestly, I really am all like, I don't come off like a big punk rock nerd, but I'm a big punk rock.
Oh
nerd.
Yeah, I mean the New York scene is great right now. There's a lot of cool stuff going on.
I'm obsessed with Priest, which I never even heard of.
Oh, they're
about.
Great. The DC band, right?
Yeah.
I
heard of them because I never made a chance at that stuff by audio, but I heard how they like destroyed it the Friday last
show.
Yeah,
they're so good.
And then they were at Gethard like a week later.
Oh, that's right. They were on the Sleater Kinney episode. Yeah.
And they were fucking good.
So good.
They were so good.
That's a great band. Yeah. Their new album is like super good.
I think I'll probably download it today. Honestly,
it's great.
It's like been like I've been wanting to download it like since I saw them live.
Yeah.
And gained like a small crush on that lead singer.
Ooh, baby. Yeah. Yeah, they're great. But yeah, I mean, New York's got a lot of really cool bands right now. Hank Wynn, the Hammerheads.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, they're great. They released their first LP this year, and it's killer. Stay
sweet.
Yeah, I mean, like, fucking support your local punks.
Okay, well, that kind of leads me to my next question. Like, what's something you're looking forward to that does not involve you?
It doesn't involve me.
Like a movie, a book, a TV show, a play, a punk rock show?
What am I looking forward to? Oh, well, there's a great show in March that I just got a ticket for that I'm looking forward to. What am I looking forward to? Most recently. Oh, well, this is maybe, like, too sentimental, but my grandfather died last year.
Oh,
almost a year ago. Exactly. And me and my family are going to Paris to scatter his ashes.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, after Christmas. And I'm really looking forward to that.
Like, not, like, week after Christmas or whatever, or?
Yeah, we're going the 6th, or the 26th to the 2nd, I think.
Oh, that's cool. You're going to have New Year's in Paris.
It's going to be great. Yeah, it's going to be really cool.
You're going to come back, you're just going to have, like, a smaller version of mustache. You're gonna be like John Waters when you come back.
Please.
That would be fucking badass. John Waters is a hero of mine. I don't think he gets shared enough in the world how much I love John Waters.
He's the best.
Like I fell into John Waters boat like hard
He's
in
great.
College.
Crybaby is like one of my favorite movies.
Really?
Yeah, it's so good. I don't even like musicals and I love Crybaby.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Pink Flamingos, I watched with my roommate in college. We finished that movie as best friends.
You started as enemies.
No, we started as friends, like good friends. Like we like realized like an hour into that movie.
That's so rad.
That we were like best friends because we were so horrified and loving it at the same time.
It's a great movie. Yeah, his book is great too.
Which one?
I forget what it's called, but it's his like autobiography.
Oh, okay. No Turner's.
Yeah.
Not.
It's got the little like pencil drawing.
Well, not Role Models.
It might be.
Well, Role Models is weird because it's an essay book about, like, people that he, like, looks up to.
But he wrote another... Maybe it's that.
He's got, like, three books.
Yeah. I think
I know which one you're talking about, though, I think. It's got the mustache on the cover,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to another great year of the Rug Show.
Hell, yeah. It's literally, guys, you have to go down to People's Republic of Brooklyn. It is... I can't explain to you how great that show is.
Oh, thanks, man. I really appreciate it. Yeah,
thank you for having me on it.
Oh, of course. Come back anytime, please.
That was actually a really great day of mine. I will tell you why after we finish the book. So.
Cool. Yeah, no, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Sweet, man. Yeah. What about plugs for you? Twitter, Tumblr, shows, etc.
Twitter. I am at James Folta. So I run a Tumblr with my buddy Luke Burns. Who I just want to plug him.
Okay.
He's a dude. He's great. Just got put on mod and like
nice.
Over the moon about it.
Yeah. Which team is he on?
He's on Lover, I think is what they're called.
Okay.
And yeah, they have their first show on the 5th of January.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and so we've been running this blog called An Encyclopedia of Hypothetical Police Procedurals. that we've been writing for a while now. We publish one a week every Monday, and we basically write a police procedural, like a fake police procedural that has never existed.
That's so great.
So we publish one every Monday. We debut them at our reading night that we run. That will be, the next one is January 19th, I believe.
Okay.
Or 15th. Nah, I'll invite you all on Facebook. But yeah, we read them there and we publish them every Monday, which is, the website is hypotheticalpoliceprocedurals.tumblr.com, I think.
Nice.
Just Google Encyclopedia of Hypothetical Police Procedures.
All right.
We're also going to be doing a live version of it at Pizza Beach, which is Dan Fox's show.
Oh, that's so great.
On Monday, the 12th of January.
That's great. That's
so we'll
really,
be doing...
That's
know,
so cool.
We'll be doing a thing.
Nice.
Yeah, so they're super fun. They're, like, really dumb and weird and great.
But, I mean, that's why we love comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my plugs quickly, which are actually shocking very fast. It'll be at MarkTheBA5 is the Twitter. And, of course, hshampod@gmail.com. I want to coach some guys. If you need a coach, I've got some free time right now. So my rates are cheap. I also have recently been doing coaching of like individual type stuff. So if you want to do that too, even directing or anything like that, let me know. More stuff will be happening. You know, it's like the end of the year, so things are not happening. Also, you know, like booking my teams, like I said, Fallen Sox, which is a team that I'm obsessed with,
super
that I'm on right now. Of course, Chronic Fatigue, which was mentioned earlier, Mr. Danger. Flint is trying to still have our return show because we still love each other. Just haven't had a chance to get a show. If you have a show that is paid to get in, we'll do it. Let's put, like, basically anything that's not Triple Crown. Anything that's not Triple Crown's basement and give me enough time to let the team know, we will probably be able to do it.
Awesome.
I'm serious with that. Like, we really want to, like, we haven't had a show since our Indie Cage match. We are not broken up. We are just on a very long hiatus. We love each other. We're all a lot more known now than we were back in May. But all amazing people. James, this has been fucking incredible.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. This has been really fun.
Yeah.
And this is like the first conversation that we've had.
It's the longest one. Because we've had like a couple, like I'd say like 6-minute conversations before.
Yeah. But it's good to like, it's cool to get to know someone like on wax.
And that's what I also love about this podcast. Like there's been like episodes where there's people I know of, but never really talked to.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, this person's amazing. Like whatever. You know what I mean? Like, or like I thought I knew someone, but I don't know. Like, I love it. I just part of the reason why I do this podcast so often. I love learning about people.
It's a great reason to.
It's great. Like, and also like a podcast is the greatest way to do it. I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's probably going to report this way instead of the other way. So,
right on.
And I'll see you guys next time I hit the mark.
Bye.
Bye.